Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So when some stand up to protest the cuts we make, ask them, are you going to double my income taxes in order to continue to pay for this government? Ladies and gentlemen, I was not sent here to approve tax increases. I was sent here to veto them.
Who'll feel the pain in the Christie budget with no tax increases? You've been hearing the big numbers from Governor Christie's budget address on cuts to localities and cuts to schools, but let's drill down deeper. This is from a partial list on NJ.com this morning. Here are some specific ways New Jerseyans may feel it. Prescription drug copays for seniors could rise from $7 to $15. Tax credits to high-tech businesses cut in half. Less tuition assistance for college students. Property tax rebates being cut by 75% and not coming as checks in the mail, but as credits on your 2011 bill. Some low-income parents will be kicked out of the state health insurance program. Bus and train fares would go up, and wage subsidies for the working poor enacted under Governor Whitman would be reduced. And there's more. Now, in a state with an $11 billion deficit on a $33 billion or so budget, lots of pain is inevitable. That has to be a starting point. But some critics argue that the only ones spared any pain are the rich. The governor is not proposing to repeal the income tax cut on those making more than $400,000 a year. The state legislature has to pass the budget, and the legislature is controlled by Democrats. So let's hear from a lawmaker from each party now, John Wisniewski, the new chairman of the New Jersey Democratic State Committee and an assemblyman from Sayreville and around there in Middlesex County, and Jay Weber, chairman of the New Jersey Republican State Committee and an assemblyman from the Morris Plains area. Welcome to both of you. Thank you so much for coming on WNYC.
Good to be with you.
Assemblyman Wisniewski, you're the state party chair. Do you see the budget in partisan terms? In your opinion, is the governor inflicting more pain on Democratic voting blocks and less pain on Republican ones by design?
I don't view the budget in partisan terms. I view it in practical terms. And the governor's made choices here to spare the richest 1% of New Jersey any pain while inflicting pain on the middle class. I mean, in very simple terms, the governor has declared war on the middle class from everything from copays to fare increases to property tax increases.
War on the middle class is strong language. Do you see it in partisan terms as well?
Well, clearly, the governor is a Republican, and I'm a Democrat, and most of the people who will be affected by this happen to be Democrats, but there are Republicans who will be paying more property taxes, they'll be paying higher fares, they'll be paying, getting less in copays, and so it's not a partisan document. Obviously, I have a partisan position, and he has a partisan position, and the pain that he's inflicting, unfortunately, spares one class and inflicts pain on everybody else.
Assemblyman Weber, strong language from your counterpart there. War on the middle class. Your
strong
reaction.
Language we've heard so many times before. It's what John and his colleagues on the other side of the aisle like to trot out. It's just class warfare. And I would take the position that what we've had in New Jersey under 8 years of Democratic leadership this past decade was a war on the middle class, ever-increasing taxes, ever-increasing debt, ever-increasing state spending. And so, look, we had a referendum on that form of government, that way of governing last November, and the people very clearly said John Corzine and the Democrats had failed. 115 tax increases in the past decade had failed. Our economy was in the tank, and they wanted to go in a different direction. Governor Christie presented a budget yesterday to the legislature that takes us in a very different direction, one that's optimistic and hopeful and that actually trusts the people of the state of New Jersey to keep and spend their own money. And so when you hear the class warfare and the picking at each particular line item in the budget and all the complaints we're going to get from the other side, I think it bears mentioning that, you know, what we've had has been a war on the middle class in the state of New Jersey the last decade, and what we're trying here is something different. And I applaud the governor for it, and I look forward to helping him pass his budget.
And listeners, we want to hear from you in New Jersey. If you voted for Governor Christie or if you did not, we will save some lines for each. How about those of you who voted for Christie last November? Is this what you wanted him to do? Remember, one of the issues in the election was that he would not reveal how he would balance the budget. Now he's revealing it. Is this what you hoped for? Is this what you expected if you did vote for Governor Christie? Call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And other New Jersey listeners, if you voted for Corzine or Daggett or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, your reaction to this budget for the Assembly, Democratic and really the state Democratic and Republican chairs. They are both members of the New Jersey Assembly. Assemblyman Wisniewski, even if taxes were raised on the wealthiest New Jerseyans, and we'll debate that issue in particular in a minute, almost all these other cuts to the middle class and the poor would have to remain in effect, wouldn't they?
Well, not necessarily. I think, first of all, let's clarify a couple of things. Jay had said that there was a referendum on Governor Corzine and the Democrats. The reality is while John Corzine lost his election, 47 of 48 Assembly Democrats were returned to office. So this was not a referendum on Democrats. This was a referendum on John Corzine. And under the Democrats, fiscal discipline was brought back to Trenton. We cut $4 billion.
All right. You know what? I don't want to spend our scarce time relitigating the last election. How about this? If you're going to talk about class warfare, is it not true that with a deficit this big, even if steps were taken to inflict more pain on the wealthy, that almost all these other cuts would have to take place anyway?
No, that's not true. First of all, the deficit's not that big. $11 billion is a number, if the budget is put on autopilot, if nobody does anything, then you would need $11 billion more. And it would take the budget from $30 billion to $40 billion, which has never happened in all of the years I've been in Trenton, and no one else has had that happen either. It's what happens if you automatically apply every possible increase. That number is way overstated. If you had restored, if the governor would restore the millionaire's tax, you would still need to make cuts, but not the kind of draconian cuts that are going to result in huge property tax increases, which are going to affect the middle class disproportionately.
So, Assemblyman Weber, on the question of the wealthy, when poor working parents would be kicked out of state health insurance, when the Whitman wage subsidies to the working poor would be cut, and seniors would have to double their copay for medicines, the 400,000-plussers get nothing asked of them?
Well, that's not true at all. I mean, they've been giving for decades. In fact, they've been fleeing the state. But I thought the governor made a very good point yesterday, and he spoke very directly to the people of the state of New Jersey at every income level, but especially those who are unemployed, and especially those who are maybe lower middle income. If you continue down this path of continually raising taxes on the quote-unquote rich, which are really just small business owners in most cases who are S-corps or sole proprietorships, be prepared for more unemployment. Be prepared for fewer services, because the policies of the past, continually increasing taxes on corporations, on small business owners, have driven us into the economic ditch that we find ourselves.
But is that such pure trickle-down economics that you're saying nothing needs to be asked directly of that 400,000-plus group, whether they're small business owners or whoever they are, if they're making $400,000 at the end of the year, that nothing more needs to be asked of them today, while something more is being asked of almost every other New Jerseyan?
First of all, they're experiencing the same cuts in terms of their school aid, in terms of municipal aid, but they already pay the highest taxes in the nation. What more? You can't get blood from a stone. Our small business owners, our wealth producers in this state have already been asked to give too much. It's why we see them fleeing to places like Florida, places like North Carolina, places like Pennsylvania. And I actually took note, Senator Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, a Democrat, said this morning or yesterday afternoon that this was very much a Ronald Reagan-type budget. Well, you know what? Sign me up for it, because that's the kind of policy, the pro-growth, pro capitalist budget that direction that we need to go in this state. We've tried John Wisniewski's way, and it failed. It's time to try a different way.
And here's a little bit of how the governor himself put that yesterday.
We have the worst unemployment in the region and the highest taxes in America, and that is no coincidence.
So, Assemblyman Wisniewski, would the state be cutting off its nose to spite its face by raising taxes on that bracket?
Of course not. And I think that the whole argument is overplayed about people fleeing the state because of the millionaire's tax. The reality is that the average income of the people who have left this state is $150,000. It's not the people that Jay Weber's talking about. Those people are here, and they have the ability to share in what's necessary to resurrect our economy. And let's not be missing the fact that our national economy is in a downturn. It's not New Jersey specific that somehow because of tax policy in New Jersey, the economy is not doing well. Every other state in the nation, every nation in the world is having economic trouble at this point in time. So it's not about New Jersey tax policy, but we do need to make sure that if we're asking sacrifice, it's a shared sacrifice, not a sacrifice on one.
How about Assemblyman Weber's statement that you can't get blood from a stone because the wealthy in New Jersey have been giving so much over the years?
Well, I think that the wealthy in New Jersey had been giving with the millionaire's tax. They now got a tax break, thanks to Governor Christie, and I think that's an unfair burden to put on the working class in New Jersey to ask them to pick up the burden that the wealthy are not willing to pick up.
Here is a New Jerseyan in that income bracket, Frank in Chester. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Great show. You have a wonderful show. Listen, I'd like to dispute what the young man just said about the wealthy being 150,000 leaving. I employ 135 people in the state of New Jersey. I'm a small businessman. I'm an S-class. All right, we have payrolls in excess of $4 million. But my friends, and for instance, I'm an automobile dealer, and there's an automobile dealer in town who purposely just moved to Florida to get away from the tax. The taxes, we're paying the highest taxes. Collecting taxes from the wealthy is fine. If you want to collect taxes from the wealthy, make sure that you take them and provide the services to everyone on an equal basis. But we don't do that. We collect the taxes from the wealthy, and then we distribute them to the poor areas. Now, you can say that's proper distribution, but it really is not encouraging me to make any more investments in my state. We have to stop taxing people and find ways to cut our expenses. And I think that's what Governor Christie's budget is trying to do. And I think most New Jerseyans and all my employees, almost to a person, applaud what he's trying to do. They understand that we have to take and bring our cost of government down.
Assemblyman Wisniewski, case in point, anecdote from an individual.
We certainly do have to bring the cost of government in line. But at the same time, when, you know, it's very easy to cut the state budget and put all of the burden on municipalities and school board, which Governor Christie is doing. He's saying, look, I'm not going to spend the money. I'm going to make the municipalities and counties do that. What the governor should be doing first is reforming that. I didn't hear the governor talk about privatization or shared services or anything that would actually bring costs in line. Instead, he said, I'm going to balance my budget by making the municipalities and the counties raise theirs. That's not fair.
Now, wait a second. John, you sit right behind me, John, on the floor of the Assembly, and the governor talked a lot, extensively, in great detail, about the kinds of tools that he's going to provide local school board members and mayors and freeholders across the state. He's talking about collective bargaining reform. He's talking about purchasing reform. He has an entire plan, not just to cut the budget and do less of the same thing, but to reduce the budget and reform state, municipal, and county government for the next couple of decades. And
he talked
in great detail about that, John, and to suggest that he's not giving local elected officials the tools to deal with these budget reductions is just patently false.
Well, actually, what the governor talked about were sound bites, that he's going to have a toolkit. And it's the same type of mentality used during the campaign, where he did not want to get into specifics because he knew if he got into specifics when he ran for office, he would never get elected. And now, again, he's talking about putting the burden on municipalities, school boards, and counties, but not really giving any clearly defined way of fixing the problem.
Listeners, this just in, by the way, for those of you following the health care debate, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Democrat from Ohio, has just announced that he will vote yes on health reform. He had been a no vote the first time around in the House, And it's so close that the Kucinich decision was long awaited, and he just announced a yes vote to come probably later this week on health reform. We'll talk about that with our next guest, Congressman Anthony Weiner from Brooklyn and Queens, as soon as we're done with the New Jersey budget. And our current guests, John Wisniewski, the new chairman of the New Jersey Democratic State Committee, and an assemblyman from Sayreville and around there in Middlesex County, and Jay Weber, chairman of the New Jersey Republican State Committee, and an assemblyman from the Morris Plains area. And Samjeev in Morristown. You're on WNYC. Hello, Samjeev.
Yeah, hi, Leonard. The great show, and great talking to you again. This is something which is bothering everyone. I mean, Christine is right on saying that the budgets are out of whack and they're spending so much everywhere, and we need to reduce the cost, and taxes are high. But nobody itself, even the Democrats and Republicans, doing anything really in long-term way to structurally change the way we spend money. We have 22 counties and more than almost 200 state, small townships and towns and city. And we have that way a number of different fire services, police stations, school districts. And that's the way the taxes are going up and taxes are high. And that's the way we're spending. Why can't we combine all into one county, all schools, all police stations, all fire services into one to reduce the cost? And that's the way to go forward, rather than reducing services the way that the Christie is doing it right now.
Samjeev, thank you. And Assemblyman Weber, what about that? There's no plan for consolidation in this budget, is there?
Well, Samjeev raises a good point, and consolidation and shared services is something I think Democrats and Republicans agree upon in terms of encouraging and reviewing. But the notion that there aren't long-term structural reforms in the governor's budget is just not so. There's collective bargaining reform that encourages and requires arbitrators to respect municipal levy caps. In other words, keeping increases to public employee compensation to reasonable levels. There's employee benefits reform, both on pensions and health care. There's civil service reform. And then perhaps the most significant reform that the governor unveiled is a 2.5% hard cap on increases in spending at every level of government going forward that can only be overridden by a vote of the electorate. And so these are the kinds of long-term structural reform that I think are probably bigger news than the actual specific budget cuts for fiscal year 2011. Fiscal budgets come and go. Our revenues will go up and down in the state. But these long-term structural reforms will put our state on a path to economic growth and recovery, and I think we're all going to look back on this as a watershed moment in the history of the state.
Joe in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I like the phrase shared sacrifice, but where it must begin is for the government to look inward on itself. The bureaucratic bloat that has given financial burdens that were reached at these collective bargaining tables over the past 3.5 decades have caused a top-heavy system that the state can no longer afford. We have unionized ourselves out of solvency.
Joe, did we lose you? I guess we lost Joe. Joe's point is clear. The sanitation workers, the CWA, has disconnected the phone line. Assemblyman Wisniewski, on that point, I mean, before we talk about, you know, the elimination of the Whitman wage subsidies to the working poor, before we talk about more prescription drug copays for seniors and all those other things, do you not need to look very first at what is widely considered to be the bloated pay packages for all kinds of public employees at the state and local level?
Oh, absolutely. And we need to move forward with the pension reform bills that have moved through the Senate and now are being considered by the Assembly, and we need to do much more. But I think one of your prior callers really hit it on the head. We have 1,300 units of local government in New Jersey, and each one of those units of government adds to the cost. When you consider two-thirds of our state budget is transfer payments, money that comes in on one end and goes back to counties, municipalities, and school boards, the only way to really control costs is to look at consolidation and shared services, and that's the part of the puzzle that's missing in this message.
What about the structural reform that Assemblyman Weber mentioned a minute ago, the 2.5% cap, and I gather there's a constitutional amendment proposal even for property tax increases to be capped around the state at 2.5%. Do you support that?
We have currently have a 4% cap. It's too porous. It needs to be reformed, so we need to look at that cap seriously. I think there are a lot of structural reforms that we can agree on, and I think the governor touched upon some of them, but the details were pretty light and the specifics not there. But at the end of the day, you need to do the reforms first before you put the costs onto the local taxpayers. And that's not what is happening here. We're putting the costs on the taxpayers first and saying, let's see if we can do reform later. And I think we've got it backwards.
You've got an immediate deficit, and reform takes time, including a vote of the public, right?
Reform takes time, and if you're going to do a constitutional amendment, you need a vote of the public. If you just want to do it statutorily, you can get it done through the legislature, and so I think we should probably go through the legislature first.
We've just got a couple of minutes left, and I want to touch a couple of issues real quick. Assemblyman Wisniewski, you're chair of the Transportation Committee, and I was reading about a hearing of your committee where some people complained that the transportation cuts target mass transit riders unfairly compared to drivers. Is that your position?
Absolutely. If you look at every successful transit system, it receives an operational subsidy. We've cut in New Jersey Transit this year, the governor's cut $32 million, saying that he had to do it because New Jersey Transit was a patronage pit. They cut $30 million in salaries, and even though they've done that, they're still going to raise fares by 25%. It's going to take a half-week pay additional for a working person to go from Middlesex County to Newark by train. And that is a cost that people can't afford at this time.
Should drivers be hit in a certain way to help ameliorate that?
We've talked long about the need to refund our transportation trust fund. The governor's made it clear he does not want to see any tax increases for the transportation trust fund. And so the governor's plan is to borrow more money to fund the transportation trust fund, exactly what he said he wouldn't do.
Comment on that real quick, Assemblyman Weber.
John's been very clear that his solution to the Transportation Trust Fund is to raise the gas tax on the already overtaxed people in New Jersey. And so Governor Christie was very upfront about reducing the subsidy to New Jersey Transit, an organization that's been poorly run for years. He has complete confidence in the new director of the NJ Transit. They've reduced staff. They have increased fares, they have reduced service, but they're going to get that house in order so that we can preserve a system that so many people rely upon.
But in terms of where it comes out on regular New Jerseyans, it's hitting transit riders but not hitting drivers. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Because?
Because they're using the service. I mean, the drivers, everyone's getting hit.
Drivers are using the roads and that infrastructure, right?
Sure. I mean, everyone is getting hit in the budget, whether you're, you know, talking about school aid or municipal aid or subsidies to the Department of Transportation for road repair. So, commuters on mass transit are going to have to make adjustments to their schedules. And again, this is the product of having spent too much and having to make some, over the past few years and having to make some difficult decisions in the first year that Governor Christie's in office.
Real quick, Tea Party of New Jersey trying to recall Senator Menendez. Does the Republican Party support that?
Republican Party really hasn't taken a position on it. I mean, obviously our position is that Senator Menendez should be replaced as soon as possible. And, we'll let the proponents of the recall do their thing.
You don't have a position on it, meaning you wouldn't denounce the recall petition?
No, we don't have a position on it one way or the other.
And Mr. Wisniewski, last thing for you. As state Democratic chair, and we're going to talk about health care next with Congressman Wiener, you have one member of the New Jersey Democratic House delegation who I gather will vote no on health reform, John Adler. Do you think he should be subjected to a primary challenge if he helps to bring this effort down?
Well, I don't think John Adler will bring the effort down. I think John Adler needs to respond to the constituents in his district. He is a great member of the Democratic caucus. Not everybody agrees on every issue in Washington, and this may be one of them. But
are you predicting a yes vote from Adler? I think he committed to no, didn't
he? No, I'm not predicting a yes vote. I'm saying that you've got lots of members who have to deal with the constituents and what their district wants, and John Adler is one of them. He's a great member of the Democratic caucus otherwise, and I think that he'll have a long career in Washington.
You don't support a primary challenge?
No, not at all.
Assemblyman Wisniewski, Assemblyman Weber, the New Jersey Democratic and Republican Party chairs, thanks so much for coming on together, and I hope this will be the first of many times.
Look forward to it. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you both. Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Congressman Wiener next on the latest health reform developments, including the announcement moments ago that Dennis Kucinich, who voted no the first time around, will vote yes. Stay tuned.